When I was a kid, I definitely felt really into doing theater and dance stuff. And when I was in college, I studied theater a bit. And after college, I was traveling around Europe in a kind of a bohemian way, and I was doing a lot of street performance at that point. And I decided to go to physical theater school in Barcelona, and that's sort of what kind of got me on this path that I'm on now.
Well, what did you learn in Barcelona, one of my favorite cities in the world?
Well, I learned a lot about miming and clowning. That's all kind of the physical theater basics. And also a lot about just the really different kind of polarized dynamics that can happen in the theater. And it's how you can turn a live performance into poetry through using the physical space and voice and colors and all of that. So that's stuff I like to put into my show.
In your promo, you say sexy lipstick. What does that mean?
Sexy lipstick. I like, you know, as a theater artist and a promotional novice, what I understand about promo is that you gotta tell them what's awesome about it, which is that it's sexy. So sexy lipstick is really a visual. It's like you're thinking a sexy lipstick. But we've got a group of 8 really beautiful, young, vivacious chorus girls.
Wow.
So that's sexy, of course.
Where'd you find them?
You know, I kind of picked them off the street. I said, hey, you want to dance? You want to be in a show at the Mahaley? And they're all like, yeah.
Wow.
And to my surprise and also good luck, a lot of them are really great dancers.
Tell us about the show itself. It's based on the Curbstone Follies. What's that?
So the Curbstone Follies is my one-woman show, which I created in 2010 and premiered at the Mahaley in 2011. And that show, I played 5 different characters. And after doing that show at the Mahaley, I received a pretty sizable grant to put on the show in New York City for a week-long run. And then I decided, oh, I should really work on this show if I'm going to take it to New York. So what happened was I called up a couple of friends of mine who are really good musicians, and I said, hey, you guys want to be in my show? And then I started writing characters for these. So I've got these 2 musician friends of mine who are in the show, and they're both incredibly talented, Evan Levine and Jonathan Talbot. And then I started writing characters for them, and then I started, you know, changing the storyline so that we all fit together, and then I started just really rearranging and changing a lot about the story and how it fit together to include these extra characters, and now it's sort of a whole different show.
Tell us about your education. You went to college. Where'd you go?
I went to Simon's Rock in Great Barrington, actually.
Was that helpful to you in terms of developing your remarkable ability to put all this stuff together?
You know, I think the best thing for me about my time spent at Simon's Rock was it sort of opened up my mind to really the world. I'm from Chatham, New York, which is a small town. And when I was there, I met kids who were, you know, going to Bali for their year abroad and who were from Chicago, and really kids who were really open to seeing the world and traveling a lot and who had really big and crazy ideas. And I think that's something that impacted me at that age so strongly. I did a lot of traveling after that, and I feel like without that experience, I might still be in Chatham, you know?
Sure. You think that's what happens? You either get imprisoned in the town you were brought up in, or somehow, through some piece of luck or education, you get a more worldly view.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, more or less. You can't generalize these things, but...
Yeah. Give us a little hint about what we will see at the Mahaley on August 10th. How will it go?
Okay, you're gonna wait in line at the Mahaley box office and wait to get your tickets. And then you're gonna walk into the beautiful open molding theater with the curtains and the velvet seats, and you're gonna sit down and there's gonna be a magical buzz in the air. And then when the show starts, it's like everyone is automatically transported back into the 1920s. The show takes place in the Mahaley Theater back in 1915. So everyone gets to go back in time kind of to an alternate magical reality. And we pretty much put on like a full song and dance vaudeville show, and we tell the story of Dante's Inferno through kind of alternative methods. And people will see a grown man in a lobster costume. There's, I'm just trying to pick out other highlights. Lots of live music, and it's going to be inspiring. It's been very inspiring for me thus far, and I'm really excited to share it with everybody.
You know, Heather, I was at the opening night of the Mahewi in its new form. In other words, as they brought it, wonderful Lola Jaffe and her group brought it back to this new reality of the way it was. And they tried to replicate, I think, one of the first vaudeville things that was done there. And guys who came on, contortionists, and people who took their trombone apart until he was down to playing just the mouthpiece. There was something pretty magical about vaudeville, wasn't there?
Yeah, totally magical. It's like, it's kind of got these rough edges. Things are made out of, you know, cardboard and glue, but it's sort of like the whole vaudeville scene is transported to this other kind of magical level of bizarre absurdism.
Well, tell us how this came to be. You obviously have been at the Mahewi now. This will be the third time. And have they been encouraging of you? In other words, how did you get them to do it? The Mahewi is not a cheap place to rent. So tell us about your relationship.
Yeah, so my first year, I wanted to put up this one-woman show, which was definitely a big first-time thing for me, putting up a show like that in a big old theater. So I rented the theater and you know, I borrowed some money to do that, and I didn't go totally broke doing it. And after the show, you know, we had a great turnout, and the people at the Mahewi were like, wow, we love putting on live theater. We never get a chance to do it because it's expensive to produce, and there's not a lot of traveling theater companies actually in the United States anymore. So they were really encouraging. They said, you know, they got in touch with me a few months later being like, hey, what are you doing next year? So I, and then they kind of rounded out the rental agreement to make it more of a co-production, and they were really helpful in a lot of ways and very encouraging, and same with this year as well. So it really feels like they're excited to be putting on this kind of theater in their space, and they're totally putting their money where their mouth is in that respect.
You have this wonderful name, Heather D. Fish, or H.D. Fish. Mm-hmm. Ever since I heard it, the first night I met you in the Stagecoach restaurant, I've been going around saying, H.D. Fish, H.D. Fish. I mean, was that planned? I mean, H.D. Fish, you don't hear young women who are named H.D. Fish. What's the deal?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's my name. And I like the initials. H.D. is, there's something kind of romantic. It's like T.S. Eliot, you know? Or like E.A. Waite. It's kind of harkens back to a time when people went by initials.
You sure you don't want to change H.D. Fish, the spelling of Fish, to P-H-I-S-C-H?
You know, I don't feel strongly about it.
that's great, because, you know, Fish has a huge following,
too.
Couldn't hurt you that much. Well, anyway, do you get butterflies before a show?
Feel pretty good right before the show. There's kind of a calm before the storm a little bit.
Well, in any case, we're going to hear and see Heather Fish, H.D. Fish, present La Belle Époque, Saturday, August 10th at 8 p.m. at the beautiful Mahewi Theater. Heather Fish, can't thank you enough for being with us.
Thanks so much, Alan.